This is, you don't have to put your name on, it's an anonymous. And so, yes, amen. I was hoping that he printed the right ones out. All right. Yeah, just the first page. So if you can pass those out. Guys, I really also want to know, and I think our board also wants to know what we, you know, what people think of our church and things like that. So please fill these out, and you can leave them. Let's see. Can I pick on Joel? Can Joel you scoop them up and just, if you can just fold it, you know, like I said, you don't have to put your name on, just fold it, and Joel will be able to collect all of them afterwards from after church. And if you want to take your time and fill it out and give it to us next week, you can put it under my door. That's fine as well. But it's just some basic questions about our church and what you think and what we can improve in. Amen? We can always improve. Thank God for that. Very well. So I'm going to go ahead. I don't have a lot of time. I know it's already 12. And so I just want to kind of just go through, try to go through this as quickly as I can with the sermon tonight, I mean today. Tonight, don't forget that we have, what do we have tonight? What are we continuing? 10 days of prayer. You guys like my messages, right? My reminders. I like how I keep reminding them and keep reminding them. 10 days of prayer. Tonight we have a special guest again. Last night, very powerful testimony. If you haven't seen it, you could go back to our Facebook page, BrewsterAdventistChurch.com, Facebook, and be able to see last night's testimony. Very powerful testimony. And again, I believe that tonight's testimony will also be powerful. You're more than welcome also to come to church and be able to hear it in live in person. The other thing is that January 20th, I know that this is probably all in the bulletin, but I just want to, I'm excited, guys, because again, January 20th, we also have, Agape Feast, and we're doing it together with the Spanish church. And so, amen. We're working together. We're doing things together, right? Amen. And so our goal is to, this year, to really work together as a unit. To work in our community and stuff like that. So we have to work together. We have to come together to also worship together and just begin this wonderful relationship that once you guys had as well before they left over there. So that is why they're going to come here and partake, and together we're going to have a feast, and then we will be having our communion as well. That's January 20th at 6 p.m. The other thing is that following our 10 days of prayer, what is following our 10 days of prayer? Anybody? We had it up on the bullet on the. We have a revival by Dr. Walsh. He's also a pastor, and so he's going to bring us the message. And I hope that we can prepare our hearts, our ears, our minds, everything, to be able to listen and to accept the revival that God wants to start in our churches. Amen. And with that being said, we're just starting on fire this year. So stay tuned for what's next. All right, let me pray really quickly, and then we will dive into God's word today. Dear Father, we come to you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to see how you work through your church. We know that we can probably do more. We can put more effort into it. We can just be able to continue serving you, Father, and seeing how you work through us. And so we just come to you, Father, knowing that this year is going to be a different year. And so we just put ourselves in your hands, Father. But we also want to dive into your word, and so just illuminate our minds. May your Holy Spirit touch our hearts, and may we be able to accept the message that you have for us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. And so that is John 14:1. This particular verse, if we take it into context, comes at a very particular time for the disciples and Jesus. Jesus confesses or basically explains to the disciples that there's some trouble coming. There's some moments of despair a little bit for them because he no longer is going to be with them. And then they see Judas running out through the back door to go and do the deed that he's supposed to do, that he's decided in his heart to do. And then you have Peter, another leader in the group, that also is kind of shunned by Jesus in the sense that Peter wants to stand up and say, no, I would not let this happen. And Jesus says, my brother, I'm just going to let you know that you will betray me. And although you right now, your words speak one thing, your actions will do another. And for the disciples, that was heavy duty stuff that was going on. It was hard for them to just take, soak all that in. Have you ever received news that it was just hard to soak in, that it just made your heart almost like collapse, your breathing stop? I don't know if you've ever received news in that magnitude. But to the disciples, where they spent 3 years of their lives with Jesus and seeing him walk on water, seeing him do these miracles after miracle after miracle, for them, who they chose Jesus, they said, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. For them, this was a very hard pill to swallow. And so as I start to read this, I start to kind of reflect on us in our time. When Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You see, because many times we will face trouble because he says, those that follow me, they will what? They will persecute you. And so at the same time, he wants to give us relief. Even though they will persecute you, look what happens if you believe in God. See, the disciples, they did believe in God, and I believe a lot of people believe in God. But how many people, how many individuals, how many hearts out there really believe in Jesus? Because he says, you believe in God, then also believe in whom? In me, says Jesus. And he goes on to say, my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. I love how Jesus gives them comfort. You see, Jesus today, even with all the things that are going around in our world, in the United States of America, Ukraine, Russia, China, all the big hitters, and all the speculations that we hear, which Jesus has already warned us about, and he's been warning us about, and he's been asking us to keep watch, to stay tuned, but do not despair, do not be troubled. He tells us these things. Why, as human beings, our instinct is right away to be troubled. Is it bad to be troubled? Does that bring us harm? Does that do anything to our soul? Does that change our minds on who God is? Does that deviate from realizing that Jesus has made us a promise? I believe that sometimes it does. And I'm here to tell you that that's okay. Amen. We have emotions. We have feelings. And that can happen in the moment of despair. That can happen in the moment of not knowing anything. But that is why Jesus gives us assurance. That is why Jesus comes on the scene and says, listen, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. There are many rooms. There's enough for all of you. While you guys were over there discussing who was going to be sitting next to me and who's going to have what and who's greater than the other, even though you guys are imperfect and really have some serious issues with your character and the way that you guys are acting, I still want you in my house. I still want you to be with me. I still love you. And so he goes on to say in verse 4, which I love how Jesus does this, you know the way to the place where I am going. This is a little bit of a riddle that he's telling them. You know a place, or you know the place where I'm going. And so he tells them this because Jesus wants to prompt them to ask. See, sometimes when we're troubled, the last thing we do is ask God. God, why is this happening to me? What are you allowing me to learn? What can I learn from this? How is this making me closer to you? What is it exactly that you're calling me out to do? Why am I feeling the need of asking you, like, what is going on? Right? We usually don't do that. We usually call others. We might gossip. We might turn our backs on those that we thought it was this, we thought it was that, and we assume, and we do so many other things except come to the Lord and seek his face. It happens. Happens to me. I imagine that it happens to all of us. We're all human. It's our nature, unfortunately. It's our fallen state. But I love how Thomas here, he doesn't shy away from the question. He falls right into it and says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus comes with a straight answer. He wanted Thomas to ask this question because this is like, I remember when I taught this to my student, I guess you can say, Miley, to Miley, the one that you saw baptized. And when I read her this verse, her eyes lit up. I remember her eyes lit up. She goes, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And I think I spoke about this before where Jesus is stating that he is the only way to whom? To the Father. That Jesus is the only truth to the Father, right? That he is the only life. And so everything that Jesus is leads us to the Father. You see, the world says, yeah, listen, you can follow this way. And you know what? It will get you somewhere. It will make you $1 million. It will give you a nice house. It will give you this. It will give you that. If you work hard and you strap on your boots, you will make it. And in this country, that's a possibility. But you tell that to someone in Colombia, and that's right out hard. You tell that someone in Africa that lives in the middle of the desert, they're not going to see it the same way that we see it. And you know what? There's a lot of truth out there, right? 2 + 2 = 4, no? And there's a lot of, you know, scientists are discovering here and there, and if you eat healthy, and if you do this, and you exercise, and all these things, there's a lot of truth out there. But when it comes to the soul, there is only one truth, because this truth will lead you into what's next. The only one that can offer you this. You see, people can offer you a lot of things, but they can't guarantee you this one. They can't guarantee you life the way that Jesus guarantees you life. You know, there are millionaires out there spending millions of dollars on these machines that freeze their bodies until supposedly technology is able to figure it out for them and they can revive them some way, somehow. Millions of dollars they're spending on these machines. There's these caves out in, I don't know where, in different countries, in Switzerland and in all these other countries, in case doom days happen, and they have all the seeds and they have all these things because they think that, you know, and having all that saved up, then they could come back out and make life happen. But the reality is that there is no guarantee. The only one that guarantees life is Jesus. Amen. As my particular major is not in theology. That's my minor. My major is in religion. And I studied all religions. And I was fascinated, and I kept seeing the same thing over and over again. They all guaranteed you somehow, some way to get to the Father, but there was no means. It was all by works. You had to do it in order to receive it. And when I look at Christianity, Jesus is the only one to make the bold statement with authority. You know why he makes it with authority? Because he walked the walk. He talked the talk, but he also walked it. And so the disciples understood that when Jesus said something, it happened. When he says, arise, it happened. When he said, be still, it happened. And he spoke with authority. Hence, he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. He did the same thing again here, because Philip then says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, Philip, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me or has seen me has also seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? And so the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. And then he says, believe in me. I say that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. Or at least, listen to this, because this is very, very important here. He goes, at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. And this is where our verse comes into play. Verily, truly. And the reason he uses verily, truly here is like, this is like an, almost like an amen. This is guaranteed, my friends. This will happen. This has happened and will happen and will continue happening. He says, verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. What works have Jesus been doing when he was on his earth? When we think about the works that he's been doing, we think about the great works, no? We think about walking on water. We think about healing the blind. We think about, giving, feeding the thousands. We think about, the list goes on and on, right? And so when we think about works, all these things that Jesus has done, we just think about the works in which were in miraculous grand fashion. But may I ask you something? Was it the works that changed the minds of the people? Was that the authority that he had when he spoke? When he speaks about works here, look what he says right after. He says, not only will you do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Greater things than walking on water? Greater things than feeding thousands of people? Now, has anybody here walked on water yet? Maybe if you walked on ice. I know, okay. For those that are scientific, all right, it's still not water. Has anybody risen from the dead or rose somebody from the dead? Has anyone healed a blind person? You know, it was so frustrating for me not too long ago. I felt that at one point I can pray and things will happen if I really believe. And so I went, we had a vigil at the Spanish church, and this gentleman comes up and says, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I lost sight in one eye, and the doctors told me that within a couple of weeks or so, I will lose it on the other. I only have about 15 to 20% vision or something like that. Man, I said, no problem, brother. We're going to pray for you. Tonight is the night a miracle will happen. At least I put that in my mind. And I really believed, my friends. We went out there. We had a whole vigil, sang some songs, burned some prayers. And I asked him to come forward. And I put my hand on him, put some oil on his forehead, and I prayed like I never prayed before. I prayed for a miracle. And at that particular moment, as I was praying, I kid you not, I felt no doubt. I thought that this was going to happen. I really did. And as I say amen, I look at the gentleman, and he's like, "Thank you, Pastor." And I'm just waiting for him to say, "I can see, I can see." Because I know that if that miracle would have happened, oh, my, that church would have been super packed next Sabbath. Everybody would have been showing up to church. Not one soul will miss church. But it didn't happen. And I said, "Lord, why didn't it happen? Why didn't that happen?" And so as I look into the text where it says here that the works that we have done, my friends, the works that Jesus does in people's lives is not just the miracle. The miracle is the result of something greater. See, because the work starts in here. It starts in here. And if the work is not being produced here and here, then how can we do the other things, the greater works that he is talking about? And so when I was studying this, I cried. I said, "Lord, you still have work to do in me. There is still work to be done, my Father, because I know that you've promised. Your word says here that greater work shall be done." And then I realized that, yes, I've been doing the work. Maybe not perfect, but I've been doing the work. As a young man calls me and texts me and says, "Pastor, thank you for planting the seed. I will be baptized next week." As others come about and tell me their experience and accepting the Lord. See, because as I was sitting here yesterday, I realized, I said, wow, the young man that came yesterday talking about how he was addicted to drugs since he was 12, 15 years old or so, and talking about how he was on meth. On meth, my friends. And for those that have been on drugs, it is not easy to get off meth. Okay? I have friends that still are caught up in it, and they've tried and tried. And for him to say that the power of God transformed his life and decided to leave it, wow, that's astonishing. And so he says here, Jesus says here, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me of anything in my name and I will do it." You see, but we have to first do something that is very important. And it comes in the next verse. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Some other version says, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to forever, and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And so I want to kind of end that part there, because this is what's very important for us to understand. If we love God, we keep the commandments. And when I say keep the commandments, remember, he says love. You got to love him first, meaning that we have to have a relationship with God first. Okay? The only way that we're going to keep the commandments that he's asking us is because we will first love him and have a relationship with him. And through that relationship, I keep the commandments of God, meaning I keep the Torah, I keep the word of God, I keep what Jesus has commanded me to do. And then he tells us that he will send the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, to us. And if we read in verse 26, what good is the Holy Spirit for you and I? Verse 26 says, "But the advocate." So what is the Holy Spirit? He's an advocate for us. It says here, "The Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. What will it do? It will teach us of all things and remind us of the things that we need to do. Meaning that if we don't read this, how can the Holy Spirit teach us? How can the Holy Spirit remind us? If we don't spend time in prayer and in the Word of God, He cannot do either. God is a gentleman. He will not enter unless you ask Him to. So that's why it is through prayer and supplication and looking for God and seeking His will, not my will, then those things, those greater things will happen. Then we can ask and we shall receive, my friends. And so as we start out the year, yes, I would love to get out of debt. I would love to buy maybe a new house for my family. Yes, I would love to be able to, you know, help others as needed. Yes, I would. But the first thing I need to do is help myself by seeking out God's face, by responding in the time of trouble and making sure that if the time of trouble comes, I am prepared for whatever trouble is coming my way, because I am listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is teaching me, is preaching to me, is allowing it, I'm allowing it to show me the way, the truth, and the life. And look what he says, as if we allow this to happen, he says he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And verse 27 ends with, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and be not afraid." My friends, Jesus is promising us here that he will give us peace. I never understood that. How can I have peace when I have a child laying in bed and sick and, you know, in surgery and going one thing after another? How can I be in peace when, you know, it seems I get out of one hole to get in another hole, and it just seems like life is just attacking me sometimes? Well, my friends, I want to tell you that only God can give you that peace, because he's giving you the assurance that all this one day will come to an end. It will come to an end where there will be no more tears, there will be no more hunger, there will be no more crying, nothing, no COVID, no cancer. Yes, this Wednesday I went to the Spanish church to give sermon over there, and we were praying and giving our petitions and things like that. And one of the petitions were for this one kid who, he's only 2 years old and has cancer. He's up in Seattle, in a hospital in Seattle, and we've been trying to follow up and be there for that family, as they barely know us. But we wanted to show them God's love. And we've been praying. And the most beautiful thing is that the kid is now, when he was in bed, you know, because bedridden because of this cancer, he is now talking and walking and getting into mischief like a little baby or a little kid does. The power of God, the transformation that God does. We have to believe in it. We have to continue yearning. We have to keep seeking. We have to keep looking for the way and the truth and life in Jesus and nothing else. Forget about what anybody else says. We have to continue focusing our eyes on the prize, on Jesus Christ. He's going to take us home. Pastor's not going to take you home. I'm sorry. Jesus is going to take you home. And I want to go home. And so 2023 is about getting ready to go home and trying to take as much people as we can. Get this gospel, spread it out. So do not be afraid when we hear about the wars, when we hear about our jobs, when we hear about, don't be afraid of that. Know that the time is near. And let us stand strong together. Let us unite together for this one cause and this one cause alone, and that is to preach the gospel to all of Brewster. To all of Brewster. That should be our goal. Definitely to our families and to our friends, but to all of Brewster. I want Jesus to come. I hope that is what you would like as well for this year. Let us pray. God in heaven, thank you once more for your awesomeness, for your love, your mercy that we just don't deserve. Thank you for Christ who lived, died, and rose to give us life and to give us life in abundantly. Thank you because he's up there interceding for everyone at this moment. Father, we want to be on the right side of the books. We want to be right with you. We all have our shortcomings. We all have characters to change. We've been in church for over 20 years and have the same character. Father, we are embarrassed sometimes of ourselves because we hide behind the good things we do and we forget about those things that we don't do. We forget about the mornings that we don't speak to you. We forget about those times that we should have spoken nicely and we didn't. We forget about that there's a work to be done and we just ignore it for whatever reason. Father, please, may the transformation start in us today in this new year that we're about to have, that we're having right now. May we have an experience with you like no other. May you speak to our minds and heart. May we start to have that transformation that makes others see that you live in us. And may they not also only see that you live in us, but may they also see the works that we do and the evidence of those greater works that you talk about. I'm tired of praying and not being able to help my brother who's in need of healing, whether spiritually or physically. I want some of that power, and I know my church family does too. May your Holy Spirit come to all of us and pour down on this church and help us change, help us transform to those that follow your will and keep your commandments and love you so much. May nothing keep us away from your love. We love you and we thank you and we can't wait to see you. So we pray these things, asking you forgiveness of our sins in the name of Jesus. Amen.